we're in the series At the Table. If you haven't been here, what we're doing is Jesus eats a lot in the Gospel of Luke. But the thing about Jesus is he also brings the kingdom of heaven. Like, what does it look like when God's salvation, when health, when grace, when love, when aggressively calling people to change, he brings all that to the table. So we're in this series looking at Luke, looking at him at the table, because we want to love Jesus and we want to do the things that Jesus did, right? So that's the basics. I need your help to get this sermon started, though. So I'm going to tell you the very end of our passage today, and I want you guys to kick us off. So here's this next slide here. The end of our passage today is the Son of Man. That's Jesus' title that he uses for himself a lot. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. So here's how we're going to kick off today. I don't have any control over what you guys are going to share, but I'm going to come around with the mic, and I want you to tell us, how did Jesus seek and save you? When you were lost, when you were far away, when you didn't know what to do next, when you may be down in the mud, like, how did Jesus come for you and pull you out of that? So raise a hand. You don't have to be shy, but who wants to share? Yeah, I'll come back this way.
Well, Jesus saved my life. I was a drug addict junkie walking down the streets, just broken with like MRSA and stuff on my face and lost. And I called out to him and he showed me this place called the Maple House. And I went in there where there's a bunch of smoke and, you know, a bunch of alcoholics and drug addicts in there that were actually happy. And, which was weird. And, from that point on, it just, you know, it changed something in my heart. And I, you know, one thing led to another and taking direction, and, it led me to Christ. And, I've been following Jesus ever since. And my life is so much better today. And I could be of service to other people instead of just being a hindrance on society. So that's helpful too.
Okay, I saw a hand here, but I saw this one first. Yeah.
So I had a moment where I was going to make a terrible choice, which could have been bad for me. And I walked around the corner, and there was this man standing there. And I had just lost everything again out on the streets. Just a pair of shoes, backpack, not much left, giving up all hope. And I turn this corner and a man looks up at me and he said, "Would you like to come into church?" I walked into that church, and to watch little kids having fun and to see them praising the Lord, I walked to the back. They were like, "We got some free coffee." So I said, "Okay." I walked over there, and as I was drinking my coffee, I was just crying in the corner. And from that moment on, I knew Jesus said, "Come back."
Hi, my name is Shannon. I was drowning in selfishness and self-pity so deep I couldn't even see life. And I didn't really know how to live life, you know, in happiness again. And you know, he brought me to the point where I didn't care. Until I got into this good foundation and met the men and women that actually cared about me. And I started opening my eyes and seeing the beautiful things around me worth living again. And just God has shown me so much. And he brought love back into my heart. And I love myself. And I just want to live life and be around others that do the same. And I'm just blessed to be here today.
Good morning.
Jesus brought me into a family, a church family. I no longer live a life of leaving a path of destruction behind me. Not self-serving. I being taught how to be of service to others and not just myself. I'm no longer self-centered, working steps into the life that God has planned for me. I love my family. I love my family in Maywood. And I thank you, Jesus, for all you've done for me.
Can y'all hear me? Okay. So January 28th, 2025, it was freezing cold. I was living outside. I was actively using, drinking, you know, everything that God didn't want me to do. But this particular night, I cried out to the Lord. I said, Lord, it's cold. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I was literally living behind a building in Truman Corners. The security guard at Truman Corners, I couldn't stand him. He couldn't stand me. But God brought that man into my life that night. I said some words to him, and it was enough for him to come back with the Grand View Police. Now, despite the fact that I had 5 warrants, I had a bunch of stuff on me that was illegal. This is where God stepped in and did for me what I couldn't do for myself. Because all that illegal stuff I had on me, the police officer took it out of my pocket, threw it away. He said, Andrew, we're not going to worry about your warrants, you know, because honestly, if I was to take you to jail right now, you would be in there for a few days, you would get out, and you'll be right back out here doing the same thing that you're doing now. So with that being said, he said, push come to shove, Andrew, do you want to go to a crisis center? This was January 28th. And yeah, that Grand View police officer gave me a ride all the way to 8th in Indiana and dropped me off at the crisis center. And by the grace of God, I have not turned back since.
Hi. I've been in and out of rehab myself, but I was in treatment and outpatient treatment, and I started a new job. I thought things were going to look up, and then I got hit by a car. There was a shootout at this job that I just started, and I was in the hospital for a while. I was in a coma for a little bit. I broke my femur in 3 spots, and now I'm here to, God has shown me that there's more to life than just drugs and alcohol. And he's shown me what alcohol and drugs do to mentally ill people. Because I have a daughter that's in rehab now, and I helped her get there. And it's just really, God has helped me in so many ways.
Yeah, we're coming back to Sherry, and then we'll do Janet. Okay, and then we'll head towards the front.
I'm reluctant to share. Mine's a little bit different, but I grew up in church. My dad was an ordained minister since I was about 7, I think. And, you know, you think when you grow up in church, you're like, okay, well, my dad's a preacher. I grew up in church. I'm fine. I'm okay. I know the words to say. I know what I'm supposed to know, so I'm good. And then there was a moment when I was a teenager, I was doing things I know I shouldn't be doing. I never did get into the drugs or anything, but I was doing other things. And I felt like the Lord said to me, you don't get saved because your dad is saved. You don't get into heaven because your family took you to church. You don't. You know, you are a hearer of the word. You are not a doer of the word. You do not have me in your heart. You have me in your head. And that is not enough. You are not in my book of life. And it just broke me. It broke me down. And I realized that I was not what I was saying that I was. I was not living what I was talking about. And all those years... And I already knew Eddie by then. I mean, I thought, you know, well, my boyfriend's a Christian. My whole family's Christian. I'm good. No, it's not enough. It has to be personal. It has to be a personal relationship with Jesus. And I didn't have it. And that moment when I came forward, and that's really hard when that's your dad that you're talking to. But when I came forward, and it wasn't in church, it was just me and Dad at the church, I literally felt like a very heavy weight. Just, I felt like I almost floated off of the floor at the altar because I felt like a weight just lifted off me. And like I kind of came up off the floor a little bit. I know that sounds, you don't go by feelings, but I knew then that I knew, you know, it was different.
Hi, my name's Janet. My story's a little bit different too. I was raised in church and accepted Jesus as my savior. And then I kind of walked away from church as a young adult and away from God. And one night, several years later, my life was changed. I got news that my 17-year-old son was killed in a car accident. And the next morning I went out to the sunrise and I just felt God's love. And I felt him seeking me out and telling me that he loved me. And he sent me people and they invited me back to church. And I know God never left me during any of that time, but he has just brought me so far, and I just know his love every day, and I'm glad I can share it.
Yeah, Ryan.
And I've had a tough kind of Cain and Abel relationship with my older brother for the past 30 years. But I wanted to publicly, I did something low down and dirty to my brother, you know, not quite like stealing his blessing, but I met my ex-wife through him, and they had been together the night before, and, you know, I snaked my brother, you know, it's called pulling one over on your brother. And it's not right to do, you know, you don't do that to your brother, especially in Christ, or if not your own family. But I just want to publicly apologize to my brother. I'm sorry I ever did that. You're my brother, and I love you, Robert. I love you to the end, Robert.
Thank you, Ryan. So we're going to do Stanley and Johnny.
Hello, everybody. If it wasn't for this church showing me love and family, I probably wouldn't be around. I had a heart attack in 2016. I died for 6 minutes. I was sleeping in my truck. I'd lost everything in 90 days being in the hospital. If it wasn't for Scott Stoner feeding me and coming to check on me when I was sleeping in my truck, I know I wouldn't be here at Maywood without him. He invited me to come sleep in the back parking lot. 6 months I slept back there in my truck. Hard times. If it wasn't for this church inviting me in as a brother, I would have never found God again or Jesus. I was at the bottom of my rope, ready to give up. And everybody welcomed me in. So I want to say thank you.
So I was incarcerated from 2017 to 2024. 2020, they sent me to treatment in prison. And I couldn't kick the habit of drugs. I couldn't kick the habit of crashing out and burning. So I had called my mom in the hole and let her know that I wasn't coming home that year. They pushed me back a couple years. I would be in prison a few more years. And my mother cried to me and said, son, I'm not going to make it. And in that moment, I was so broken and so much in the depth of despair that I called out to Jesus. And I asked him, I said, I can't do this on my own. It's only you that can heal me. It's only you that can make me stop this. Please come into my heart and turn my life around. It was a battle, but he met me in that moment. And since then, I've been clean ever since. God has given me the ability. Thank you. God has given me the ability to love on people, to receive criticism, and I have been brought up in the chapel. I was a chapel worker. I was placed in leadership programs, and he developed me. He constructed me as the potter does the clay. So I'm grateful that I came home. I met Maywood. I met Jake. I met Mike and Donna, and I have a family that supports me and encourages me every day. I love you guys. Thank you.
So there came a time where Jesus is talking to a group of people that thought that they knew better, and he said, you're in error because you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. And what you just heard about was a lot of people who've experienced the power of God to come and find them, like we were singing about, and to change things. And you can keep asking if you want to hear more of it. We're going to read a passage of scripture. We're going to give you a simple takeaway with it. But this passage is Jesus showing up to a whole town, and he finds this one guy, and he brings salvation to one guy. And we're going to read it because we want to know Jesus better. We want to understand what he's doing, and we want him to come and take care of us, right? And we want to follow his example. So if we could skip ahead to Luke, if you turn there in your Bible, I'll have it on the screen as well. Luke 19, starting in verse 1. Here it is. Jesus entered Jericho. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's on the way to the cross for us, right? To die for us. And he's passing through this town, right? Jesus has got another destination, but it doesn't mean he's going to ignore the opportunity today. Verse 2. A man there was there by the name of Zacchaeus. You can call him Zach if you want. Zacchaeus, he was a chief tax collector, which means that he sold out his countrymen to make money, right? The Romans didn't know everybody well enough to get to squeeze them really hard. So they would get people to betray their own friends and family so they could squeeze more money out of them. And Zacchaeus wasn't just a lowly tax collector. He's a ruler of them or a boss of them. He's high up the chain. And it specifically goes out of his way to mention, like, if you didn't already guess, he's wealthy. Typically, tax collectors would become wealthy by skimming off the top, taking more than they were supposed to. Nobody in that town likes Zacchaeus. You could guess that. Verse 3. Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. I want to note real quick, he didn't just want to see Jesus. He wanted to know who Jesus was. Hebrews tells us that faith, you got to have hope that God rewards those who earnestly seek him. If you're here today and you're like, why don't I have those stories? Why hasn't Jesus set me free? Faith in Jesus means you have hope that he's going to reward you if you will keep looking for him, right? But because he was short, because Zacchaeus is a tiny guy, he could not see over the crowd. Now, a lot of us have a way of looking for excuses, right? Like, I tried to come, but there was construction, or I had to go do this or that, right? Zacchaeus has an out here. Like, if God wanted him to see Jesus, God could have made him taller, right? I mean, he could have a resentment, a chip on his shoulder, and blame God, right? Verse 4, he doesn't take no for an answer, though. So Zacchaeus ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming out that way. I used to love to climb trees as a kid. As like a 19-year-old, I climbed a tree, and I realized like adult bodies and trees are a lot more awkward than an 8-year-old. But this guy climbs up a tree because he wants to see Jesus that bad. He wants to know who Jesus is. Verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot, He looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. We're going to pause here. There's a whole town of people. And I don't know a lot about this town in Jericho. One thing I can tell you is every single person there needed Jesus. This person was earnestly looking for Jesus and wouldn't take no for an answer. And Jesus stops and is like, he invites himself over. If you've been with us in the series, you know it's a big deal. It's an honoring thing to eat with somebody in that culture. So Jesus makes this gesture. He says, I want to eat with you. Verse 6. So Zacchaeus came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Zacchaeus is excited to spend time with Jesus, to be honored in this way, right? There's a rich guy in Luke 18, if you want to read about that, who's maybe driven by duty and has real successful. He doesn't have this compelling love that Zacchaeus shows, though, right? Verse 7. All the people saw this and began to mutter, Jesus has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Nobody else likes it. Jesus doesn't seem deterred by that. And for whatever reason, like all these muttering people, like my guess is they don't get right with Jesus that day, right? It doesn't look like they do. But this one guy who's desperate to know who Jesus is going to have quite a transformation. Verse 8. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord. I mean, he sounds like a little kid, right? Like, look, Dad. Look, teacher. Look, Lord. Here now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. It sounds to me like Zacchaeus has just like signed up for bankruptcy, right? Like he's made his living off of ripping people off. He's immediately going to give to the poor, and he's going to start doing right by people. Zacchaeus could have said, like, I'm so sorry for what I did. I'm going to fast a bunch and feel terrible about myself for years on end. But instead, when he hangs out with Jesus, he has this, like, eagerness to become generous with the poor, eagerness to do right by other people. It's interesting, right? If you want to talk to Daniel about Christ's love compelling us, Coach Daniel has some good stuff to share on that, right? He's got a good testimony on that. Verse 9. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. Full health, full new life, full good standing with God forever, right? Because this man too is a son of Abraham. We'll talk about son of Abraham here in just a second. Verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. This is what Jesus is about. And as Christians, I don't know if anybody's ever told you this. This is what Christianity is. It's about saying, Jesus, I can't do it on my own. I need your help. And Jesus, I give you my life. So we talk about Jesus being our Lord and Savior. And Jesus is really clear. He's going to send us out just like the Father sent him. He's going to love us in the same way the Heavenly Father loved him. And so if Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, it doesn't take much of a guess to know, like, what should we be about? Right? Okay. Real quick on this child of Abraham thing, I'll move on. If you want to go a little deeper on this, I actually forgot to print off our sheets. I normally do. But if you want to dig deeper into that, I know on Wednesday night I was talking to some of our folks and they're like, what does child of Abraham mean? At the end of this, we'll have a little QR code if you want to do a Bible study on like Abraham and faith. Listen to like how the struggle of faith helps you go through pain and get to a new life. So that'll be coming up if you want to dig deeper. But I want to talk to you about this coin thing. We did that with the kids. That's two dimes. That's me last night holding those a regular dime on the right that has like the little coppery look. And then you can tell real clearly like which one of them is silver, right? So Josie, wherever she's at, is holding that dime right now. Now here's the thing. Most of us probably don't, I mean, most of you use Venmo or something now, probably don't even have a lot of change. But if you did have change, and even if you had that silver dime in your pocket right now, most of you wouldn't know it. Like how many of you pay attention to like, how does this dime look, right? The inside, in fact, that whole coin is 90% silver. It has a different inside condition than most of the dimes around it, right? Most of the dimes around it look fine on the outside and they have something different on the inside, right? Jesus knew Zacchaeus was ready. And Jesus made a real special effort with Zacchaeus. And if Jesus has saved you, my guess is you come across people like Zacchaeus and you don't even know it. You come across somebody that has the inside condition where like they're ready for Jesus to take hold of them. So what do? Right now, you don't have to wait to pray. You don't have to wait till I'm done talking. You can say, like, Jesus, I want to work with you this week. Help me not to miss the Zacchaeus that you put in my life, the person who wants to know you. I see Andrew praying right now. Like, it's good, right? You know? Here's a little tip. This is just a Jake Taylor thing. You do whatever the Holy Spirit tells you, but we have this bring it to the table each week. It's like a challenge at your table. Whether you have a kitchen table or not, here's what I want you to do this week. Follow Jesus' example. This next slide is like, look for your Zach and be forward with them in a way that honors them. Jesus didn't say, hey, Zach, you know what a mess your life is? Like, I can fix all that. That's not the first thing Jesus said to him. The first thing Jesus said to him is, I want to spend time with you right now. It's very forward to invite yourself to someone else's house, but it also was honoring to Zacchaeus. Clearly, after they spent some time together, Zacchaeus knew he needed to make some changes in his life. It's okay to tell people, like, your old ways are not the right way to live, right? But maybe this week you say, like, hey, you're really good at that. Can you teach me how to do it? That's something that would honor somebody you come across. And then while they're teaching you, see what options there to sprinkle in Jesus, to talk about Jesus. Here's my last little thought before we close out. Here's the reason I have that silver dime. This is my old coin collection. It's an old Nike Air box from like the 90s. I never had Nike Airs. My brother did. And I thought the box was cool, so I put my coin collection in there. But my dad had been a coin collector. And when I was digging through that stuff last night, I found this note from my dad. As soon as I saw it, I knew his handwriting. And it's maybe too small for you guys to see. But here's what it says. It says 1964 or before are real silver, 90%. And then it goes on to say all the coins that might be silver. Here's what my dad was doing by sitting me down, telling me that, by giving me that note. My dad was opening my eyes to, like, Jake, there's a bunch of change and you need to start paying attention because you're collecting coins now and there's like treasure out there that most people don't notice. My dad and I were coin collectors. I've not met a lot of coin collectors in my life, right? It's not a popular hobby. Most people today aren't looking for Zacchaeuses. They aren't looking for somebody who wants to change and who's looking for Jesus. But I bet our Heavenly Father could give you a tip. I didn't just instantly start finding silver dimes, right? But I knew what to look for. What if the Heavenly Father would give you a tip this week, what to look for? And then you just start paying attention to the stuff that comes your way, the people that come your way. Jesus, I'll try, right? And Jesus is the one that shows up and saves people, right? We just got to be his partner. Okay, so I want to pray a blessing over you guys. Close us out. If you guys will bow your heads, I want to pray this over you. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.